Yours.
Lynn, good morning, everyone. Can you guys hear me okay? Yeah, good. Excellent. All right, welcome to Awakening Together Sunday Morning Gathering. Good. What we do normally here to begin the service is greet one another the same way you would do if you were in a physical church in your hometown. Reach across the pew here virtually and say hello. Maybe tell us where you're from and how's the weather and whether you got snowed in the blizzard. But I'll turn this mic back over to Lynn to play our opening song while we greet one another.
We are awakening to the calling of the mystic, awakening in the flowering of the heart. Everybody here melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love.
Okay, good morning. Thank you. All right, we are awakening together. Awakening Together is a universal assembly of peers dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom, regardless of the form in which it appears. We accept all forms as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Okay. Let's look at our announcements, shall we? Let's see. Okay. Awakening Together has reserved the Franciscan Retreat Center in Colorado Springs for a retreat during the last week of October 2016. For those of you who went to our fall retreat in 2015, you'll know this is the same place we were there, the Franciscan Retreat Center in Colorado Springs. Beyond selecting the location and the date, the 2016 fall retreat has not been planned. Before we can plan the retreat, we need to hear from you. We need to know who you would like as a retreat leader at the retreat, what objectives you would like satisfied at the retreat, and what kind of retreat format you're most interested in. Watch your inbox on Monday, January 25th for a 2016 fall retreat survey from Awakening Together. It will be sent by Regina Dawn Akers to all Awakening Together members. If you don't find the survey in your inbox on Monday, check your spam or junk folder. If you still don't find the survey, email Regina at reginadawnakers@yahoo.com and she will resend it to you. And we really do want your input on this retreat. We want to make this a collective decision among the membership as to what this retreat should look like, who we should have there, the format, et cetera, what I just read to you. So it's really important that you participate in this survey. If you don't get the survey, let Regina know and she'll resend it to you. Again, that's reginadawnakers@yahoo.com. Okay, announcement number two, a new class, The Teachings of Ramana Maharishi, starts in January. This is a six-week class. It will be offered at two different times. It will be offered on Tuesday evenings. That will run from February the 9th through March the 15th, from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Homework will begin on January the 3rd, and the facilitator for the Tuesday evening class is me, Jacqueline Eckert. Okay. And then the class will also be offered on Wednesday mornings, February the 10th through March the 16th, and the Wednesday morning class is from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. Homework, again, begins on February the 3rd, and the facilitator for the Wednesday morning class is Regina Dawn Akers. The cost of the class is $120. The textbook needed is The Spiritual Teaching of Ramana Maharshi. The class is offered in Pal Talk, and therefore familiarity with Pal Talk is helpful. Registration for the class closes on February the 2nd. Full details are on Awakening Together. Under the class menu, and Barb has posted that for us there. Okay, and then the last announcement is the announcement of our movie group, which starts tonight at 8 o'clock, and I will be facilitating the movie group, the Spirit-led Movie Watchers discussion group. And the idea behind the group is to help participants watch movies with spirit. Actually, the group will facilitate the participants' ability to identify spiritual themes in everyday movies and to use movies as a way of uncovering unconscious beliefs about ourselves and the world we live in. Tonight's session will be an introduction, including suggestions about what to look for within the movies and what to notice within ourselves while watching, and ideas. And then we'll look for ideas from the people who come to the introductory class tonight for movies that we might look at down the road, in order to discover more about ourselves. All right, by watching movies with spirits. I'm really excited about the class. So I hope you guys plan to join us for that. Okay, I'm going to get a sip here and see where we need to go. Okay. Now we'll have an opening song where we can begin to quiet down and settle in here, and lovely Lynn will play us some music. Thanks, Lynn.
Wash it away.
Hot day in the summer.
song. All right, at this point, we'll take a moment to go into prayer here. And as always, I pray that I can get Jacqueline out of the way long enough that I can hear what I need to hear to help those of you who are listening to hear what you need to hear from the message this morning. I pray that I am able to let go of what I need this message to look like, what I need this moment to be, so that I can let go of those things, so that I can see what this moment will be, so I can live in this moment as it's presented to me by Holy Spirit, so that I can join with each of you in this moment, as that's what all moments are for. Amen. All right. Okay, at this point, we'll have our reading. And our reading this morning is by Kathy Smith. And Kathy will be reading to us from Jan Fraser's book, The Freedom of Being. And she will be reading Orientation to the Big Picture. And I'll let go of the mic so she can read to us.
Hi guys, this is a mic check. Am I being heard? Am I being heard? No? Yes? Very low. Okay, let me turn up the volume. Can you hear me any better now? Is it better now? Okay. Oh, breaking. Oh, goodness. okay. My volume is up as high as it can go. Hopefully this will improve. So, okay, we'll go with it. So again, this is called Orientation to the Big Picture. We want to think, we're taught to do so, that the big picture stuff, the mental understanding of where a person is in life, is always the significant thing to pay attention to. I can't seem to keep a relationship together. I want my daughter to be happy. I've got to improve my health. The overall view is where attention will often go as the default. The ego mind is accustomed to scanning the landscape of the day, the week, the time of life, the situation, to see how things are going, what's next, and so on. What's going on now can be experienced as an actual distraction from the mind's persistent focus on the life situation. Yet everything that ever happens is in fact lived in some present tense moment. No matter what the habitually taken larger view is able to take in, actual experience, awareness, action, feeling, choice, takes place in the present. And I'm going to read that sentence one more time without the awareness, action, feeling, and choice. So again, no matter what the habitually taken larger view is able to take in, actual experience, takes place in the present. The present is where you experience your aliveness. It's at the enormous cost that present reality is neglected in favor of what the mind ceaselessly reminds you of. The reality of the moment is whatever you're able to directly encounter in the immediate scene. It's what's happening now. The larger picture requires the use of the mind to recall or project, since what constitutes the big picture isn't here now. That is, you cannot directly experience it this moment, but can encounter it only via thought. Yet sometimes the bigger picture asks for a certain kind of attention. In present moment awareness, where can you helpfully locate the big view of things? When you focus on immediate reality, what happens to your grasp of the larger situation? Being in the moment doesn't mean the context doesn't matter. It's not as though by focusing on the present, you're trying to make yourself forget about your life overall, something pending, unsettled, some ongoing problem needing attention. There will always be a big picture if you look for one. What you're focusing on right now may be naturally informed by whatever your mind is aware of in a background sort of way. When there's an ongoing situation that's difficult or absorbing, it tends to be taken for granted that it will be with you, affecting the state of mind and heart in pretty much of an ongoing way, whether or not something of the situation is actually occurring in the immediate scene. While the mind's ability to visualize the larger picture can be of benefit, it also enables you to fret and obsess, to never be able to rest from an ongoing situation, even when nothing relevant is needing attention in a given moment. It's as if the situation is constantly present. The experience of many an otherwise ordinary moment is colored by the background awareness of the circumstance because it's on your mind. The burden of the knowledge varied needlessly from moment to moment, the mind ever convincingly in its insistence that what's in the big picture needs steady vigilance, as if it will improve things. If nothing of the big picture is showing up right now, and you can manage to be present with that truth, then you can be relieved, for now anyhow, of thinking about it. Why not? You probably need all the relief you can get. You're not being urged to abandon or disregard ongoing issues, goals, development, nor are you being asked to forget what's going on elsewhere in the world, in other people's lives. Being in the present doesn't ask you to live in disregard of the larger picture. This isn't about doing one to the exclusion of the other. Yet in the vast majority of lives, one happens very much to the exclusion of the other, and at great cost. People tend to live so much in the big picture, quote, reality, constantly imported by the mind into the present, that they actually miss the present moment itself. It's possible to live your life with an ongoing background awareness of the larger picture while keeping primary attention on the immediate. It's possible to be present with this reality, even as the larger situation is known. Often, the life situation is best served by focusing on the now. If you want to improve your health by foregoing certain foods, the best way to accomplish that is not to eat one of them now. The thing to realize, whenever you feel thrown off balance by mental activity, is that the actual present moment is of a different order of reality from the one your mind presents to you for consideration. Keep reminding yourself there's choice in how you orient yourself to the mind's content. And I'm going to reread the last paragraph. The thing to realize, whenever you feel thrown off balance by mental activity, is that the actual present moment is of a different order of reality from the one your mind presents to you for consideration. Keep reminding yourself there's choice in how you orient yourself to the mind's content. And that is the end of the reading from The Freedom of Being at Ease with What Is by Jan Frazier. And I thank you for letting me read today, Jacqueline. And I will release the mic.
Thanks, Kathy. You read it beautifully. And I appreciate your rereading of the passages you reread. Thank you very much. It was perfect. Okay. So let's talk about living in the now. So what does it mean? How can we be about living in the now? And I think that the Jan Frazier reading that Kathy just gave us perfectly addressed both of those questions, what it means and how to be about it. As we heard in the reading, it's a different order of reality, different than what we're used to doing. As Jan Frazier said, the reality of the moment is whatever you're able to directly encounter in the immediate scene. It's what's happening now. It's not being lost. I'm sorry, I'm reading Regina's quote. Fits great with today's daily quote. The way you comb your hair, the way you dress, the way you wash your dishes, all of these activities are an extension of sanity. They are a way of connecting with reality. I had not seen the quote. Yes, it's perfect. Yeah. So it's not being lost in your head, and that's normally where we are, lost in our heads. It is, again, it's bringing your primary focus to the reality of the present moment. It's the now is a life lived in the present. You know, last month when I spoke about seeing through the eyes of wholeness, how we normally live in this lack attitude, in this less than, in this need to make things the way we would have them be. And so this talk is very similar to the one that I gave last time I spoke. Because the idea here is the same, is to experience the moment without the self-referencing, comparing it to my ideal of what should be happening. What we're asked to do is to be the observer. How do you bring yourself into the now moment? You do that by being the observer. That is, you have no preconceived notions about what the present moment is. You know, I was listening to a Muji talk that didn't say it was about the now, but he had a quote. He was talking and said that there's nothing more to be gained than the insight that I am awareness itself. So it's really talking about getting into the observer role. There's nothing more to be gained than the insight that I am awareness itself. That is the central discovery. Thereafter, the impact of this seeing will bless every other aspect of your expression automatically. So this is the same thing. To greet the present moment without needing to have it be a certain way, without needing to make it meet your ideals, without checking in, that self-referencing idea, without checking in to see, is this it? Is this what I wanted it to be? Is this what I thought it would be? How will this affect my future? It's just to be the observer of the moment while it unfolds, allowing it to be as it is. Bentinho Massaro talks about the same sort of things when he talks about relaxing for 2 to 5 seconds. As often as you can remember, relax for 2 to 5 seconds. In explaining what that does, Bentinho says that when awareness rests, aware of its own unfindable yet undeniable existence, that which always is, before and beyond any appearance or sense of being, consciousness remains untouched, inactive, unused, and remains in a momentary abeyance, which causes a non-appearance or no knowledge of me and the world. This is what we experience as peace, and it reveals to us the ever-presence. Yeah, it reveals to us the ever presence, and that's really the fundamental idea here of the now. What we tend to think of the now is this moment that happens after the past and before the future. But really, the now is not that at all. The now is, as Jan Fraser said, it's a different order of reality. It's time out of time. The now really has nothing to do with time at all, because time is a mental construct. Time is how we keep the personal self together. We take all the things that we've learned in the past and we project them into this moment. We take all of our concerns and our fears and our wants and what we think our needs are and our desires that we have for the future, and we pull them into this space, this moment. But this moment is always what is. Each moment of life can only be lived in this moment. Yeah. Eckhart Tolle Let's see what Eckhart says. Eckhart Tolle describes it this way in The Power of Now. He says, the eternal present is the space within which your whole life unfolds, the one factor that remains constant. Life is now. There is never a time when your life was not now, nor will there ever be. Eckhart goes on to say, it is your only point of access into the timeless and formless realm of being. Your only point of access. And you know, that quote shows you how our sense of self is so wrapped up with our sense of time. Because to stop self-referencing, to stop pulling our past into the now, to stop projecting into the future, pulling that into the now, to stop doing that is to access the timeless and formless realm of being. So what is it? Well, again, as Eckhart would say, it's a gap in this mind stream. It's a moment where you're free of the internal dialogue, the self-referencing dialogue that creates our own suffering. Is this how I wanted it to be? Does this feel good? Does this match up to my expectations? This is how we create our own suffering. Okay, so how do we usually experience the now moment? Well, I've just described it as Jan described it, and it's fabulous. She says we try to squeeze the entire long-term situation into this moment, as though it were all real right now. Our whole lives we want to fit in this one moment. In that same context, she says the larger picture requires the use of mind to recall or project, since what constitutes the big picture isn't here now. That's a choice. That's the choice she's talking about. That's the choice we normally make, the choice to orient ourselves to the mind's content. That's what we see as primary. What do I know about this from my past? How will this affect my future? That's where we normally are. And by doing that, we miss our lives. We sacrifice our lives by trying to, what? To control it, right? By trying to make sense of it. By failing to just be the observer and letting it be. As Eckhart pointed out, when we resist the moment, which is what we normally do with it, we create our own pain. We create our own pain by failing to accept the moment, by resisting what is. So how do you know if that's what you're doing with the moment? Well, do you feel resentment? Are you complaining about it? Are you complaining about anything? Are you worrying about anything? If you're doing these things, then you have let the past or the future become your primary focus. So, you know, I can't think of the course quote, but this is the same idea. It's if you're doing anything but experiencing peace, you are not in this moment. You have drug your past with you, because you're going, well, this just isn't measuring up. Or you're projecting yourself into the future, going, ugh, this is not going to work out well. The outcome of this event is not going to work for me. And because you think you know what the moment should be, you attempt to control it. You attempt to manipulate it so that you can guarantee an outcome that will be consistent with what your past has taught you the way things need to be. So our problem with the present moment is a perceptual problem. It's an identification problem. It's who we think we are. It's once again how we think the world, we should be in relation to the world. How do I need things to be so that this person that I think I am can move forward, can be comfortable in this world? Yeah, as Kathy's repeated here again from the reading, the burden of the knowledge of the big picture, is carried needlessly from moment to moment, the mind ever convincing in its insistence that what's in the big picture needs steady vigilance, as if that would improve things. Okay. Well, so, all right, it's all great knowledge, right? And we hear, oh, I'm going to live in the moment right now. But, you know, we talk about mindfulness, and in looking at giving this talk, I was looking at some of these issues and mindfulness, and yes, feel the water on your hands. And, you know, Eckhart Tolle talks about it in his book, The Power of Now. When you're washing the dishes, feel the water on your hands, you know, be where you are. Be here now. I mean, these are concepts that we've heard for years and years and years, right, about how to be in the now. But do we do it? Do we really do it? Or are we always somewhere else? So how do we do it? Well, let's see. Jan Fraser had a little experiment for us. She says, you're not being asked to attempt to control what seems to be an overwhelming force. The invitation is simply to observe that the mental reality, when it barges in, is on one plane of real, while the immediate scene is on another. Learn to stop mixing them up as though they were all one thing. When you become aware of your interior in a given moment, see how you can shift your attention from one to the other. From the mental content, whatever it may be, however compelling, to the immediate scene. So let's just take a moment and do that. Let's shift our attention from whatever it is we're thinking about to our immediate scene. Then, she says, just to see that you can do it, shift it back again. Shift back to the mental content. Feel the difference when you're in your head. You know, what's going to happen tomorrow or next week? Did I turn the oven off? Is the coffee still on? The mental content. Contrast that with what you felt a moment ago just by sitting within presence, just by sitting within the immediate scene. Notice your feeling state as you bring attention deliberately to the one versus to the other. See how much more peaceful you feel when you allow the focus on mind-made reality to recede in favor of attention on the immediate, regardless of what the immediate scene holds, whether or not it looks peace-inducing. I'll just finish this thought from Jan. Again and again, come back to this truth. Life is actually lived in the present. That has been true your entire life. It will never stop being true. Yeah, relaxing, relaxing. Yes, let the mind go. That's it, exactly. There's so much here right now that the only way to really take it in is to relax. The more we relax, the more we become aware of. That's what Regina's written on the board. So I encourage you to take the Bentinho Massaro experiment or the Jan Fraser experiment. They're all the same. You know, as often as you can remember, do that relaxing. Let the thoughts in your mind go. You know, how is this different from meditation? Well, what we do in meditation, and we may well do this in meditation. I mean, that's what meditation's about, right? It's letting all these thoughts go, letting all our concerns about the past, thoughts about the past and concerns about the future, letting those things go and just sitting in that presence, right? But the problem is we get up from meditation and then we don't do it again until tomorrow when we meditate, right? Till the next time we sit down to meditate. We don't live there. And the idea of being in the now is to live there. So how do we get there? What do? We have to practice this, you know, because our society, our cultural upbringing, all of these things conspire to make us live in our mind. That's what our habit is. That's what we're used to doing, is living in our mind. So now we have to adopt some kind of practice that will help us learn how to get out of our heads. So how do we do this? Well, one way is we do it through self-observation, right? If you go, oh, gosh, look how I was totally lost in my head and I wasn't listening to what so-and-so said. If you do that, the moment you step back and see that you've done that, guess what? You're in the present moment. You've successfully brought yourself into the present moment. Yeah, living in the hurry up. Yeah. So what we want to try and do is shift from living in the, how did Deckard totally say it? We want to make the now the primary focus of your life, whereas before you dwelt in time and paid brief visits to the now. Have your dwelling place in the now and pay brief visits to the past and the future when required to deal with the practical aspects of your life situation. So we really do, we want to shift that balance. You know, it's not that we can't ever consider what happened in the past and what might happen in the future, but that doesn't, like Jan said, that doesn't always have to be on our minds. That doesn't have to be our primary focus. Another helpful point that Eckhart made in his book, The Power of Now, is really just this idea of accepting whatever it is you find in the present moment instead of resisting it, right? He says to accept, then act. Accept what's going on as if you had chosen it. You see how that, you know, you quit that reference from the past. You quit that, what's this going to mean for my future? Just be with what's happening in the present moment as if you had chosen it. Wow, what freedom is there in that? Yeah, as Barb says, it doesn't have to drive us. So, what I'm asking you to do, what I am practicing, what I have been brought to practice, is to be in this moment. Through self-observation. To just let this moment be what it is. And what I encourage you to do is to make it your practice to withdraw your attention from the past and the future whenever they're not needed. To step out of the time dimension as much as possible in everyday life. And to do this, adopt this Bentinho Massaro practice. Right? Take 2 to 5 seconds as often as you can remember it and go, oh, where am I now? What's going on around me now? What's going on in this room right now? Get out of your head. And, you know, if you get out of your head, where do you go? Well, the next point in my topic is what results will you get from this? Okay, so you do the practice. What results will you get? Well, one of the things that you get is gratitude. And how do I know this? I know this because I experienced this. What do I get when I meditate? When I get out of my head, out of my thoughts, when I stop following that mind stream, that flow of thoughts about what happened in the past and what's going to happen in the future, what do I get? I get gratitude. Why do I get gratitude? Because I have dropped out of my head and into my heart. I can feel that shift. And when I feel that shift, what do I feel? What is that result? It's gratitude. When I have let go those thoughts for even a second, I immediately feel that gratitude rush in. I experience the presence of all that is. I experience the presence of being. The other thing we get is a release from fear, a release of outcomes. You see, that's where our fear comes from. Yeah, I think we do. I think that's exactly what we're doing. We're living from our hearts when we're in the now. Yeah, where else are you living from, right? You're living from presence of being. You know, Eckhart said, whatever action you need, whatever you need to know, whatever strength you need is in the present moment. You're not going to find it in the past. You know, the past has brought you to this moment, right? The Course in Miracles says, quit relying on yourself. You've been a poor teacher. Quit relying on yourself as your own teacher. That's the notion of relying on the past. What has that brought you? It's brought you fear and upset, right? Anger and attack and hatred. That's what relying on the thinking mind has brought you. So again, once we release the need for a certain outcome, right? Once we've released this self-reference, oh, what would this mean for me tomorrow, right? Can I make this moment work in such a way? Could I possibly have that person do what I need them to do so that I get this outcome? Oh my God, what if they don't do what I need them to do? I mean, this is the thought process. How can I make this work out, this moment? Oh, let me struggle and make this moment work out so that I get what I want. Oh, my God, what if it doesn't work out so that I get what I want? You release that tension. You release that pressure. You release that fear. When you release the need for things to be the way you need them to be, you release all of that. You get to experience life as it unfolds. Yeah, being a roommate, yeah, from Michael Singer's book. They always got that stuff running in the background. And I would suggest to you, perhaps in parting, I would suggest to you that this is not unlike my talk a couple of months ago. Don't know if you were here to hear it, but I was talking about striving for enlightenment, trying to achieve enlightenment. Well, you know, that's part of the problem, right? I have these ideas of what enlightenment is. And I'm going to struggle to make this moment fit with that and, you know, and get where I'm going and get to that outcome. Hey, guys, living in the now, this is enlightenment. This is it. This is the peace that passes understanding. And Eckhart Tolle says, much like the Course says, one problem, one solution. The only problem you have is a perceptual problem. Eckhart Tolle in The Power of Now says, the problems of mind cannot be solved on the level of mind. Once you understand the basic dysfunction, there really isn't much else that you need to learn or understand. That's it. What you need to learn to do is to give up the thinking mind. What I need to learn to do is give up the thinking mind. And how do I do that? I do it in small bites. I do it by remembering, I don't know, twice a day, however often I remember, right? I do it by remembering as often as I can to just be in the present moment, to allow the present moment to be what it would be, to notice if I'm contracting, to notice if I'm needing this moment to be something else, something other than what it is, right? I do it by being the observer. Yeah, I do it by understanding I don't know, nor do I need to know. So I'm gonna wrap this up with an essay I found on our friend Amoda Ma's site. It's a poem of sorts called "Stop and Fall in Love with This Moment." Fall in love with this moment, my friend. Anything less than this creates suffering. Stop arguing with what is, my friend. This argument is the root cause of all conflict within you and within the world. This moment cannot be changed, controlled, improved, or made to vanish. It is as it is, and it cannot be any other way. It is a fact of reality. This moment is in love with you exactly as you are. It doesn't care whether you resist or argue or turn away. It doesn't try to change you. It doesn't try to make you respond with open arms, and neither does it leave you when you reject it. Whatever your state of mind, this moment is still here, right up close and absolutely naked as it is. This moment gives itself to you wholeheartedly, in all its glory and all its horror. This moment is your most faithful friend, totally devoted to you. When it hurts, your mind contorts in agony. When you strive to make this moment conform to your idea of how it should be, it is you that suffers. This moment is untouched by your suffering. If you really want freedom, then stop the fight. Stop the argument. Simply stop. In stopping, there is a surrender of the mind. And in this surrender, there is a relaxation, an opening. And in this opening, there is a clear seeing of the fact of reality. It has nothing to do with liking or disliking, nothing to do with pleasure or pain. It has everything to do with intimacy, simply being intimate with what is. So fall in love with this moment, my friend. It is the only freedom available to you. yeah. Okay. So let's see, where does that, where does that leave us? I think that leaves us at the point where we will have a song for contemplation. As we listen to the song, we want to take some time to contemplate what's been said here today. What your thoughts were about what's been said here today. You might also take this time to donate to Awakening Together as we operate on donations. And Barb will put our donation link in the room. But we really, and if you want to donate, you can always go to our website, awakening-together.org. What we really want you to do during this song is to contemplate. Just be in this moment. And so I'll let go of the mic.
Your newborn purpose is nursed by angels, cherished by the Holy Spirit, and protected by God Himself. It needs not your protection. It is yours, for it is deathless, and within it lies the end of death.
Thank you, Lynn. All right, so this is the point in our service where you guys get to share. I would love to hear from you, your thoughts on living in the now. Regina, take the mic.
Thank you very much, Jacqueline. I am sitting outside. You know, we've had really wonderful weather here in Pueblo lately. It's been in the mid-60s during the daytime, and it's only 9:24 in the morning here, and already the sun is very warm. So I'm sitting outside, and what a beautiful place to be sitting, you know, with such a wonderful reminder of being in the now. I just really appreciated the service. I also appreciated the fact that you reminded us of the last time you spoke and of the time you spoke before that, because that allowed a continuity for me, at least, that was very, very meaningful. I would not have remembered on my own, so I want to thank you for that. One of the things that I really appreciated about the reading, at least the way I heard the reading, was that there was such a great reminder in the reading that the mind is a tool. You know, you could say the mind has an appropriate job to do, and then we've extended that and made it inappropriate. But the mind is like the computer, just like the hands have a job to do, and the heart has a job to do, and the liver has a job to do, and the feet and legs have a job to do. The mind has a job to do, and it is our inner computer. And if we would just put it in the background, like she says, as a tool of ours, rather than as me, you know, it's so much more different. But yet the mind does have a job to do. You know, people get worried, well, what about if I forget my appointments, if I, you know, don't remember that I need to do this? Well, the mind is there to remind us of that, and that is the mind's job. And oh, how wonderful, how grateful as humans that we have a mind, just like birds have an instinct, right? I mean, how wonderful. But you know, delegating it back to its position as a tool rather than seeing it as me, and remembering that I am awareness and being me. Ah, beautiful. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Lovely. Thank you, Regina. Yeah, so keep it in the background and awareness primary. That's perfect. Thank you. Dances, take a mic.
Yes, first of all, I just want to say thank you, everyone. It's a beautiful service, and the comments on the board are just as valuable, too, as well as the speakers who've been on today. Thank you, thank you. There's like so many teachers on being in the present moment that all of these things, they're all tools, like Regina was kind of hitting on there too. And I was remembering, and I'm going to go ahead and post it here, this prayer from ACIM. And I noticed myself, this is, I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to represent Him who sent me. I do not have to worry about what to say or do, because He who sent me will direct me. And so on. I don't have to read the whole thing, but that to me is also very centering. It puts me in the present moment, and I don't have to wait till I'm in here or, you know, reading it. it's just occurred to me, it's like, wow, I could use this, I can and am using this every moment. I don't have to worry every time I get bogged down and where should I, I'm in the process of moving and there's only so much space and it involves construction and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like letting it go. I gave my trust and my will over to the power that does see the big picture already. So, you know, running across old pictures and getting bogged down with that, just bring it back to the present moment. And I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about yesterday because they're not even here anyway. So that's all I was kind of brought to my awareness during this. And I'm so grateful to you guys. Thank you, dropping the mic.
Thank you so much, Dances. Lightfeather, your name is not coming to me, but please.
Good morning, everybody. This is Gloria. And I just wanted to come on and say thank you for a great service this morning. It's something that's been in my awareness very much lately. I was reviewing some of our prospective speakers online, and I came across a speaker. His name was Paul Letterman, and he talks about this realm of what's not happening, and that has been really helpful for me in my practice of staying in this present moment, which, by the way, we can't be anywhere other than this present moment. It's like inescapable. One of the benefits of Jacqueline talked about some of the benefits of remaining in this moment and not venturing off into this realm of what's not happening. One of the benefits that I've noticed is that the more I'm become aware that my mind is somewhere other than right here, right now, those thoughts seem to lessen over time. The strength that they have to continually pull me into a place where I'm projecting about the future or reminiscing about the past, the more I'm able to stay in this place where I can't escape, the less pull those thoughts have on my mind, the less they pull me into that realm where I really, there's nothing there but a bunch of stuff that, as Paul Letterman put it, it's not happening. So that was really helpful for me with staying in this present moment, is just really realizing that it isn't happening. So why does my attention need to be focused on what's not happening? I'm much more concerned with what's here, what's now, what's available for me, and that's the present moment. And I'll let go of the mic.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at that, the realm of what's not happening now. Why would I want to be there? It's perfect. Nancy, take the mic.
Oh, good morning, everybody, and thank you. What a great service. And, yes, Gloria, I had that same thought when I was journaling at one time with Holy Spirit, and I was writing down all of these things in my mind that I was afraid that were going to happen or that did happen, and I was thinking about them, and all of a sudden a very clear thought went through my mind, and it was, is any of that happening right now? And I was like, I started to laugh, like, no. But what I wanted to say was, you know, we asked the question a lot, you know, like, how do I do that? How do I do that? You know, and just stop and practice that being aware in the moment. But I'll tell you that one of the biggest things that has helped me even want to be in the present moment is a practice like Root Cause Inquiry or Byron Katie Worksheet or some other practice that helps me to look at what I'm thinking. It was, I didn't realize how much resistance I had to being in the now because there were so many hidden beliefs like, I can't be in the now. I'll die if I'm in the now and see. and so looking at like the true discernment class, going through that, learning about, you know, asking why, and why am I, what meaning am I given, and why do I feel that way, why do I feel that, and why do I feel that, and why does that upset me, and beginning to assume that my mind is healed, and taking on that healed mind. And then I find real moments during the day when I really am observing myself, sometimes, you know, even while I'm upset, observing like, my, you know, there's an upset passing through here. But I don't know, I couldn't do that just with my mind. I needed to maybe clear away some of the path that made it acceptable for me to actually be in the now. And then it became like, oh, I want to be in the now. The now is a very, very beautiful place. Thank you.
Wow, Nancy, thank you so much for sharing. That was really beautiful. And as you were speaking, it reminded me of what the Course talks about, because that's exactly what it's talking about when it talks about removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. So, yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. Karen, take the mic.
Hey, thank you, Jacqueline and Kathy. That was so beautiful. As you were talking, I've been watching I have a diffuser, and it kind of billows out this cool steam, right? And I put some aromatherapy drops in it, and so it has a smell. And as I was watching it and just being just so joyful of watching this come out, and I have no expectation of how it's supposed to be, and it was it's a perfect meditation for being in the now. You just watch it and it's like, wow, what's going to happen next? And it's so exciting. And what I realized is, you know, I can put my hand in it and play with it, and I can smell it, and all the senses that we have, right? And listening to you was coming in through my ears, and it's like we interact with the present moment only when we're present with it. And it's just such a joy to be present with that moment and interact with it. It's a feeling of release. It's a feeling of joy. It's a feeling of I don't know. It's just the most precious gift that we could have, is interacting with the present moment. Thanks.
I thought I wasn't getting the mic. I just couldn't see it. that was absolutely beautiful. Thank you for that very real depiction of being in that present moment. I could just feel it as you were speaking. Thank you so much for sharing that. Kathy, take the mic.
That was nice. I actually, I was smelling it with you, Karen, seeing the mist as it rose. Yeah, what a great morning. So much sharing. I totally appreciate everybody contributing. It's so nice when that happens. I was struck in the reading by Dan's use of the word distraction in relation to the present moment. It felt like a reinterpretation of the word distraction for me, like the Course often reinterprets words that we're, you know, seemingly familiar with and have accepted the meaning, you know, as is without question. And so when she said that you can actually, you know, use the present moment as a distraction from, you know, the big picture that is, where that the mind is constantly and insistently directing you to go back to, that seems to be the normal distraction, where it's like, but we don't see it as a distraction because we lend so much attention to it. It feels, quote, normal. And instead, Jan is saying, use present moment awareness as a distraction from how you, where your mind normally seems to reside. So I thought that was kind of a fun use of, you know, the word distraction in just a different sort of a way. And then I also wanted to say thank you for asking me to read. And if in the future anyone needs a reader, I enjoy doing it. I find it most helpful for my own learning. And so I'm always willing and most of the time in here for Sunday service. So it, if that's the case, just to let you know, I'm up to do that. And I will release the mic.
Yeah, thank you, Kathy. Thank you so much for reading, and thank you for going back to the reading and sharing that perspective on it. So you've all been great. I love you all dearly. I love being able to come share with you, and I'm really excited about seeing you all tonight at 8 o'clock for our movie group. So hugs, kisses, and all my love. Thanks. Bye.
Just can't recall. It doesn't matter at all.